This is Jackson Peterson, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Humboldt, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Kuhn, and we'll have updates from Whitney Pittman and Sierra Doctor. The National Weather Service expects a band of snow to move into northeastern North Dakota this afternoon and across northwestern Minnesota tonight. 1 to 2 inches of additional snow is in the forecast. Strong winds will also cause blowing and drifting in the Red River Valley. Snow is already happening at this hour in the western Dakotas.
While Russia supports a 60-day extension of the Black Sea Grain Initiative, other partners in the deal have not given their approval. All previous deals have been 120 days, and Ukraine indicates this is not prepared to sign a shorter window.
The Minnesota Soybean Growers Association has filed a lawsuit against the state of Minnesota challenging the adoption of California's zero emissions mandate. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency rule requires new cars, light-duty trucks, and medium-duty vehicles to meet the emission standards established in California. Minnesota Soybean Growers Association President Bob Wirth says the Waltz administration has failed to communicate.
When you talk to him as a group, he really does, like biodiesel and ethanol. He really does like those products. But boy, he sure doesn't act it when you get to the laws and the California low carb standard and all this stuff. So you wonder what he really is talking about. But yeah. Don, it's just amazing how he says one thing and then all of a sudden they do another, and it's a little frustrating.
Wirth says the zero emissions mandate will impact the availability of diesel fuel within the state.
A lot of people don't realize, but biodiesel does give $1.50 per bushel increase of the soybean price. So we take that away, our margins actually go negative. And then no diesel fuel to put a crop in. What's the agriculture going to look like when this happens? And that's, somebody has to step up and say, listen, I think enough is enough.
The soybean growers are joined by the state and national convenience store trade groups, the Clean Fuels Development Coalition, and a company that serves the ethanol industry called ICM.
The Minnesota House Agriculture Committee has approved a grain indemnity bill, sending it on to the Judiciary Committee. Falk Seed farm owner Jim Falk testified, saying the current bonding program does not work.
So let's stop pretending we can put another Band-Aid on this failed system that's been broken for years and has caused so much pain to our Minnesota farmers, who are left to fend for themselves, shocked that their government has failed them. The evidence in the report is clear to me and should be to everyone that bonds will never be the answer, as they don't cover delayed price contracts, which are used extensively by farmers to manage their income from year to year. And as evidenced in the report, bonds only paid 6.2% of the total claims on the five failures that have been settled as of 2019.
Agriculture Committee Chair Samantha Vang indicated the grain indemnity bill will be part of the omnibus agriculture bill.
The North Dakota Office of Management and Budget has revised the state's revenue forecast. It projects a downturn of $27 million from the November executive forecast, but it's $16 million above the January estimate. Governor Doug Burgum said this outlook continues to predict significant growth from this biennium to the next.
Grain markets found a bit of footing in a turnaround Tuesday action yesterday. Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoops thinks the drop in the U.S. dollar is spurring demand.
Still some buying coming into the wheat market, and I kind of alluded to corn helping out the wheat and vice versa. Well, that market is finding some support because of big export sales announcement this morning to China, 612,000 metric tons. I think your demand is starting to pick up a little bit with corn. Our marking near high with inspections yesterday, the sale to China, a couple sales last week to Japan in an unknown destination, and that comes at a time when the crop in Argentina seems to be shrinking in size.
Hoops says the Black Sea shipping agreement is also supporting the market.
And here Reuters reporting Russian officials are thinking they're going to say the export deal has been extended by 60 days, but Ukraine is pushing for 120-day extension. So that uncertainty, I think here, is also supportive to the wheat market at this point in time. Just not sure what's going to happen with that extension agreement.
For more information from the Red River Farm Network, you can visit Facebook and Twitter. You can also find stories, podcasts, and more. That's all available at rrfn.com. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. A bipartisan group of U.S. senators have introduced legislation to make 15% ethanol blends available year-round. Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar and Nebraska Senator Deb Fischer are the lead sponsors for this bill. Co-sponsors include the balance of the senators from Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota.
The Senate is expected to vote this week on a resolution of disapproval for the latest Waters of the United States rule. The House passed a similar resolution last week. Even if Congress is successful with this vote, President Biden is expected to issue a veto and keep the controversial WOTUS rule in place.
A coalition of 400 agriculture groups is asking Congress to provide an increase in funding for the 2023 Farm Bill. In a letter sent to lawmakers, the coalition said the recent ad hoc disaster programs do not provide timely or reliable safety nets for farmers. The letter was signed by Farm Bureau, Farmers Union, and trade groups representing everything from corn and soybean industries to the specialty crop associations.
The swine industry has safeguards in place for African swine fever in case that spreads to the U.S. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has more.
National Pork Producers Council Vice President of International Affairs Mariah Ziba says the U.S. is protecting the hog market by putting stop guards in place against African swine fever.
In the United States, the number one priority that we have is preparedness and prevention of African swine fever. We've seen what this has done, as I just mentioned, the detrimental effects on exports. We export over 23% of our production, so we need to do everything possible within the U.S. government and within our industry to make sure that we do not have African swine fever reaching our shores. Now, we are quite concerned. It is in the Western Hemisphere on the island of Hispaniola. The response from USDA has been tremendous.
Ziba says Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack has designated over $500 million in preparedness and prevention of ASF.
So this is the first time that USDA has ever put this much money into a disease before it reaches the shores. So what the U.S. government has been doing is not only putting money into shoring up our surveillance programs, but also making sure that the disease doesn't skip into the United States from the DR in Haiti. But beyond that, there's been a strategy to establish the protection zone, which is a very big deal for our industries.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
NDSU Extension soil scientist Dave Franson recommends applying phosphate to canola fields when the soil tests show lower than a 12 to 15 pH.
Canola is a non-mycorrhizal crop, so it really, really, really likes either seed placed or near seed placed. There's no mycorrhizal fungi, hyphae, little tiny fungal roots to help it out. So it has to have it close to the seed. So if you're broadcasting, you're leaving a lot of canola on the table. You need to figure out some way to band it. And ideally, you need to band it so that it's a little bit off to the seed. That way, your flexibility with what rate you can use is a lot better.
Potassium isn't typically a concern for canola growers unless the soil is very sandy. Franzen explains general fertilizer application tips for the canola grower.
Our nitrogen rate is capped at 150 pounds of N per acre in the east and 120 pounds of N in the west. Langdon area might be able to shave that a little bit, but I don't think I'd get too rammy about it. Greater nitrogen rates won't increase your yield potential. Yield potential after the cap is applied is due to the weather. Apply banded pea, pay special attention to with seed N and K2O. Always apply your sulfur as a sulfate or thiosulfate source and avoid miracle products because most miracles don't happen.
According to the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, Tractor unit sales in the U.S. and Canada have stayed near their five-year average, while combines harvesters in both countries saw triple-digit growth. In Canada, combine sales rose over 246%, while the U.S. saw just slightly more modest growth at 165%. Total farm tractor sales in the U.S. for February fell nearly 20% compared to last year and are down 17.2% year-to-date. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. While the overall inflation rate came in at 6%, food inflation is at 9.5%. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reports at-home food prices were up more than 10% last month from a year ago. Food consumed away from home increased in price by 8.4%.
Planting options get more diverse every year. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has more.
NK Seeds Corn Products Manager Matt Dolch says they have new varieties available this year with a wide array of traits. Tar spot resistance is a focus as the disease becomes a bigger problem in new areas.
I think one thing that NK certainly looks at is just emergence and consistency of product performance. Like you said, I mean, there's a lot of variance in each year, every year, especially in your local market. So that's one thing we look at. Also just tar spot as it continues to become an issue moving west. We're watching that very closely. Intensive selection for high resistance against tar spot within the NK portfolio. And again, just making sure we balance the year, understand what field we're going on specifically so we can manage some of those cooler, wetter soils that you're talking about.
Dolch says several new varieties would fit the Red River Valley.
From an NK standpoint, we talk about the new launches. We've also got our 21 products that hit our Field Forge series of class, bringing forward increased yield, agronomics, and just consistency of performance. So I'd invite listeners to take a look at that Field Forge series. And again, a lot of new exciting products in that 85 to 105 RM that we've launched here this year. So that fits the Red River Valley very well.
Reporting for the Red River Farm Network, I'm Whitney Pittman.
Bayer has announced a new cloud-based platform with Microsoft. Bayer Ag-Powered Services will allow companies and organizations to build and license digital tools to help farmers. These tools may include the use of imagery to track crop health or evaluate water usage.
National Cattlemen's Beef Association urging USDA to halt Brazilian beef imports after the country took over a month to report its latest case of BSE. NCBA Government Affairs Director Kent Bacchus stated Brazil is not living up to U.S. or World Animal Health standards for reporting BSE cases within 24 hours.
Checking markets, we have Minneapolis wheat down 1.25 for May at 8.48¾. The July contract is a quarter penny higher. Chicago wheat for May down a half penny. KC wheat down a penny for May. May corn 1.25 down, 6.19½. New crop corn 3 cents lower. Soybeans May down 6 cents, 14.87¾. New crop soybeans down by 6 cents as well. As we check in on the farm calendar, it is the International Sugar Beet Institute today and tomorrow. That's at the Fargo Dome. Look for the Red River Farm Network at that show. Again, going on today and tomorrow in Fargo. The North Dakota Public Service Commission has hearings underway to gain input on the Summit Carbon Solutions Pipeline Project. The next hearing will be March 28th, and that'll be held in Gwinner. They've also got sessions coming up April 11th and May 9th. Also, as we look to the farm calendar, the Specialty Soya and Grains Alliance has a transportation conference today and tomorrow. That's in Omaha. This is the Red River Farm Network.